And all of us have these fears from time to time. It may be a fear of failing. That's a subconscious fear. You have this fear of failing. There's also a subconscious fear of being abandoned or being rejected. These are your subconscious fears. These are the fears that are going on underneath that you don't really think about, but they're going on there. And then there's finally, there is the soul fear. And that's the fear that all of us have in here. And it's something that we have peace in because we belong to Christ. But if we don't belong to Christ, we will never have this peace. And those soul fears has to do with a very primal question, and that is, am I loved? As most of you know, I have two sons, and when they were little, I wanted to be their hero. I wanted them to look up to me, and I did a pretty good job of it. One of the things I did with a friend of mine, he had two sons, so the six of us would get in the boat with our sons, and we would go out on the water at night. And if you don't know this, when you go out on the water at night, you can take a large flashlight, what we call a Q-beam, and you can shine it over the water. And when you shine it over the water, you will detect some red eyes in the water. Those are called gators. And so we would take our boys out, and we would do that, and we would troll over to where the gators were. And there were some big gators, and there were smaller gators. And I would get in the water and catch the smaller gators, not the big ones. And I would bring them in the boat with us. I would hold their mouth. I would hold their tail so nobody got hurt. And they would get to touch a gator. And they thought I was Superman. I remember Tyler coming back the first night I did it. Dad jumped in the water with a 6-foot gator. No, I didn't, Nancy. No, I didn't. But we had so much fun doing that. But one night after it was all over, we were going home, and Tyler says to me, he says, "Dad, you're not scared of gators." And I said, "Not at all." And he looked at me, and he says, "Are you scared of ghosts?" I said, "No, son, I'm not scared of ghosts." He says, "How about spiders?" I said, "No, I'm not really scared of spiders." He said, "So the only thing you're scared of is mom." I said, "Yes, son, I fear her." So if you were to know that everybody in this room has some kind of fears. I have a friend. He works for the sheriff's department. He carries a gun. He's a big guy. I'm scared of him. But you know what he's scared of? Clowns. He's scared to death of clowns, even little bitty clowns. So when his friends want to freak him out, they will hide a clown in his car. And he has to call somebody to get the clown out of the car because he can't touch it. And you're laughing, but let me tell you this. Everybody in this room has between 7 and 14 fears if they'll be realistic. Ann Landers was asked, you know, what's the most common thread of all the letters that you get? And she said, without a doubt, it is fear. And we've been talking about the freedom from fear, and I want to talk to you today about the foundation of that. How can you have freedom from fear in this life? The very first thing that I want you to see in your notes is confidence is the absence of fear. Confidence is the absence of fear. And a lot of times people will be very confident. They'll be scared of something, but they'll be very confident because they will put that fear behind them. And I want you to be confident in this life no matter what you're going through because you have an absence of fear. Look at what it says here in Ephesians that was just read to you, the very last verse down there, verse 12. It says, "In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." No matter what's going on in your life right now, if you are a child of God, you can approach Him with freedom and confidence. Now, I don't know how you picture God. I know when I was a kid, I pictured God as this white-haired guy. He looked a lot like one of the members of the church there. His name was Grady Slatton. And Grady Slatton, that's what I always pictured God as, because Grady had this big white hair, and he had a mustache and a little goatee, and he was wealthy, and he dressed nice. And I just thought that must be what God looked like when I was a kid. And now I have no idea what God looks like. But I do know that from the reading the scriptures, Moses spent time with Him. And when Moses spent time with Him, he walked away from Him and he glowed. He radiated so much that the people said, "You need to put a veil on because we can't even look at you." This is the God that Moses says, "Show me your face." And God says, "I can't show you my face or you're going to die." And so He put Moses in a cleft of the rock and placed His hand over Moses so that he could walk by and Moses could see his back as he was walking by. And the writer of Ephesians says we can approach God with confidence and freedom. How are we going to do that? Well, I got you to, you need to understand some things that have to do with fear. There are some fears, and there's just the surface fears. Some of you have those surface fears right now. You may be having the surface fear of, did I leave the stove on this morning, okay? One of the surface fears that people may have coming to church this morning, am I going to have enough gas to get home? I know some of you might have, a surface fear of, like mine was this morning, my eyesight's starting to go, and my surface fear this morning, am I going to be able to read my notes today without my glasses? And then there are those of you who are in here that you've got this fear that when you leave here, you will be in an accident and you will not have on clean underwear. That's your fear. That's all a surface fear. And then there's the next fear, and that's a subconscious fear. And all of us have these fears from time to time. It may be a fear of failing. That's a subconscious fear. You have this fear of failing. There's also a subconscious fear of being abandoned or being rejected. These are your subconscious fears. These are the fears that are going on underneath that you don't really think about, but they're going on there. And then there is the soul fear. And that's the fear that all of us have in here. And it's something that we have peace in because we belong to Christ. But if we don't belong to Christ, we will never have this peace. And those soul fears has to do with a very primal question. And that is, am I loved? Am I loved? Every person in this room today, underneath, deep down in your soul, you want to know, am I loved? And for me, a lot of what I do comes from that soul fear that I had for a number of years, and it was something that was very deep down inside me. Am I loved? You know the song, "Just As I Am," without one plea? That whole song was written with that soul fear. That can I be loved the way I am today with the difficulties I've got in my life, the impure thoughts I have, and the things that I've done? And the only way that we can answer that fear is with God. Look at 1 John chapter 4, 18. It says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." Underline those words. Perfect love drives out fear. because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now, I didn't put this in your notes, but this morning I thought about it, and I want you to write this underneath there. Love is the opposite of fear, and fear is the opposite of love. And the reason why I want you to get that is because a lot of us think we have to know how not to be scared, but we need to know how to be loved. And that's the key here. So how do we get this freedom from fear? What is the foundation? How can we destroy fear? And we can do it with the ABCs I've got listed in your notes today. The very first thing you need to do is you need to accept God's love for me. Accept God's love for me. And I know, since we were kids, if you grew up in the church, you heard the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. And for a lot of us in this room, we've heard preachers talking about God's love. During communion today, we were talking about God's love for us. He loved us so much that He sent His one and only Son to us. But the very first way that you're going to go through this life without fear is to accept that love. You see, I've known about that love my whole life, but I didn't always feel like I was loved. You see, a lot of us have tried to get that soul fear answered by other people. And we try to find people in our life that love us. But let me tell you about the people that love you. They are all flawed. I remember when Nancy and I first started dating, the very first thing that I noticed about Nancy is I thought she was very attractive. She still is. She just doesn't find me attractive. But back then, I remember looking at her and I was thinking, oh, she is so pretty. And the way she walked and the way she carried herself and everything was perfect. You remember those days when you're first in love and if they sneeze, you think, oh, that is the most adorable thing I have ever seen in my life. And everything about that person is perfect. Do you remember that? We got Adeline down front. Her and Matt are just married. And that wedding, I wish you guys could have been there. It was so beautiful, and the way they looked at each other. And Matt, I'm sorry if I'm embarrassing you, but I'm going to say it anyway. He cried when he saw Adeline. He was so in love. And I remembered those days, but guess what happens? Things start to shift a little bit. That sneeze when the spray gets on the side of your face ain't so cute anymore. And you know, women, your husbands, and I'm not going to say I ever did this, will sometimes release a new fragrance in the house. I'm not going to say I ever did that, but I know it happens. Those things start to come in and you realize that that person can't love you the way you need to be loved. You see, the only way you can find that love, the only way you can answer that soul fear is through God, and you have to be able to accept it. It's not just knowing that God loves you. It's accepting that God loves you the way you are right now. But He loves you so much that He doesn't want to leave you that way. But He loves you just as you are today. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. You've got to learn how to love. Let God love you the way you are in order to get this foundation. Romans chapter 8, 37 through 39, know in all things We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. More than conquerors. That means we don't have fear of things. We're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither heights nor depths, and underline this, nor anything, underline anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. And underline will be able to separate us from the love of God. Because God loves you that much. And it says we'll be able to separate us from this love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Indeed, Romans 12:7, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. I don't know about you. I met somebody yesterday that told me they liked bald men. And I think that that was their way of saying, I need a haircut. I don't know. But I was thinking about this verse after that, that it's very easy for God to number his, she was married and he was bald, and it was very easy for God to number his hair. But I want you to think about that for just a minute. God knows how many hairs you have on your head. Right at this moment, he knows that. I got up this morning, I was combing my hair, I put the comb down, and I looked in the sink, and I'd lost a few more. Anybody else have that happen to you today? And God's keeping count. He knows. He loves you that much. And the only way I can describe that love to you is the feeling that I had when my children were born. If you've not had children, you probably can't relate to this. And maybe if you've had children, you can relate to this. But I remember, I didn't want to be a father. I didn't think I was good enough to be a father. I didn't want to be a father, but I had agreed with Nancy before we got married that we were going to have children. So I said, okay, we're going to do this. And I put it off thinking she'd change her mind. And finally, she put her foot down and said, we're having kids now. I'm like, well, not right now, but 9 months. And that boy was born, our oldest boy was born. And I remember just spending hours just staring at him and looking at his features and wondering what he was going to be and loving every little thing he did. I know a lot of mothers in here, the first thing you do is you count the toes and the fingers and you look the body over to make sure there's nothing wrong with your child. God loves you like that to the point that he's taken time out to count every hair on your head. And when you accept that love, you automatically take the fear of this life and you put it aside, because no matter what is happening to you right now, God loves you and he is with you. I was talking with one of our sisters this past Saturday, and I was sitting with her and she was praying. We were talking, and she says, I am praying, Neil, but I just don't feel God next to me right now. And I assured her that whether she felt God next to her or not, he was there. And I said, just maybe the way that God wanted you to feel his presence today is by me holding your hand and praying with you. And that's what we did. I know it's sometimes hard, especially if you're new to your faith, or especially if you've never really taken time to accept God's love for you. I know it's hard to wrap your head around. I remember teaching a friend of mine how to pray, and he just couldn't wrap his head around praying to God. He says, because God's not there physically, but he is there physically. He is surrounding you in everything that's going on. And when we start accepting that, then we can live this life with no fear. The second thing you've got to do in the ABCs is believe that Christ died and rose for me. We've got to believe that Christ died and rose for me. And I want you to underline that word believe, because I think sometimes we think, oh, I just have to believe. And believe is just kind of a thought out there. But belief, in from a biblical standpoint, from the Greek word, is to cling to something. It's to cling, it's to hang on to it. It's to rely on something. So when you say, I believe in Jesus, it's not just saying, I know there is a Jesus. It is something that you hang on to. It's something that you rely on constantly. It's something that you cling to. And so when you accept the love that Christ has for you, the second part of that is believing that He died and rose for me. I think a lot of times we have this concept that Jesus died and was raised from the dead for other people, but He died for you. And He died for me. And when we believe that with all of our hearts, when we hang on to that, it changes our relationship with the world, and it changes our relationship with God. Amen? Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 through 15. This is from the Living Bible. Since we, God's children, are human beings made of flesh and blood, He became flesh and blood too by being born in human form. For only as a human being could He die, and in dying break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in that way could He deliver those who through the fear of death had been living all their lives as slaves to constant dread. Have you ever noticed that people don't like to talk about death? I've been dealing with a lot of death here lately. And it's, you know, I guess it's my season of life that I'm dealing with it. But I can tell you one thing that I have seen over and over in every situation, no matter who I'm talking to, is no one wants to say he's dead or she's dead. They want to say polite words like he passed or he's in a better place. And the reason for that is because we all have this dread that we're living with. But I'm going to tell you right now, my father who passed recently, he died on this earth, but he is not dead. And so I don't have a problem saying my father died. It does sound more pleasant when I say that he passed away. And it's less shocking to other people. But the reality of it is, we're all going to have to deal with death one day. Look at what it says there and underline those words. Their lives as slaves to constant dread. And I want you to look at that verse, and I want you to think about that, because there are a lot of people that live their lives in constant dread. We have a guy that works here on our sound system and our equipment. He stopped by this morning. He and I have become friends, and I love that man. And he had someplace else to go, or he would have been in service today. But I was talking to him, and I said, Sid, how are you doing? And he says, man, I am doing so good. The only way I could be better is if I was before the Lord right now. I'm like, wow, that's pretty good, Sid. But I want you to think about that for a minute. How is it that we can have joy in the midst of death? We lost our brother Dave Chambers this past week. Dave Chambers, when I came to this church, He stood up for me. When some of his own family said that they shouldn't hire me as a preacher, he stood up for me. I watched Dave Chambers go through his wife having dementia for several years, and every single day he went in and sat with her. I watched him go and sit with her when she didn't even know who he was or acknowledge him. I watched a man of faith as he got up with his own way of saying things and do communion and read scripture. And I'm going to miss Dave. But Dave is whole now, and he's in heaven. I don't know what it's like, and I don't know what he's doing, but I can just see him running to his wife, Wanda, and finally being together again. There was a preacher that lived on the streets, or that worked or preached on the streets, and there was a bum there, and he went up to the bum and he said, "Hey, do you want to go to heaven?" And the bum said, "Nope." He said, "No, do you want to go to heaven?" And the bum said, "Nope." He said, "What do you mean you don't want to go to heaven?" He says, "Oh, I thought you were getting up a busload right now." And for a lot of us, we want the idea of heaven, but we want it down the road. But the reality of it is, if we believe that Christ died and rose again, we believe that there is a better place for us than this earth, and we should be looking for it. Romans chapter 10, 11 through 13. Scriptures reassures us, no one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will ever regret it. It's exactly the same no matter what a person's religious background may be. The same God for all of us, acting the same incredible, generous way to everyone who calls out for help. Everyone who calls help, God gets help. I have a friend that is a Christian now, and he's watching online, but I will never forget hearing his story about how he left and became an atheist as a teenager, didn't believe in God, went through life, lived his life the way he wanted without God. His parents continued to pray for him. He lost his father. He lost his relationship with his family for the most part because of his belief. And then something tragic happened in his life, and he got down on his knees, and he says, "If God, if you are real, let me know." And I don't know what took place in that room, and I don't know how it happened, but he said to me, "At that very moment, I knew God was real." And for some of us, we have never taken the time to get down on our knees. We've never been desperate enough in our life to say, "Help me, God," or, "God, if you're real, let me know." We have taken God's salvation and we have made it being at church, and we have made it being with friends, and we haven't made it about being with God. Because if you believe in something, it's a whole lot different than believing in someone. Romans chapter 5:8, "But God demonstrate his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I am not worthy to be a Christ follower. I am not worthy to be in heaven. But before I ever got worthy, Christ died for me so that I could receive that salvation. I remember talking with a kid in his 20s, and hearing the gospel. He was listening to me preach, and he was hearing what I was saying and all. And I sat down with him, and I said, let's talk about this. I know you're hearing it. I know you've been hearing what I've been saying about baptism. And I pulled out the scriptures, and I showed him what baptism was all about. And we talked about conversion, and we talked about what it meant to be a Christian. And he was in agreement with all of it. And as we were talking about it, he says, you know, Neil, this sounds good, and I'm going to do that one day. I said, what are you waiting on? He said, well, I got to straighten up my life first. And I said, well, you'll never be baptized, because no matter who you are in this room, you have not got it down yet. I had one member come up to me jokingly, said, oh, I've got it down now. And I said, well, let's just go talk to your wife. That shut him down real quick. But the point being is, you're not going to be worthy to receive this salvation ever. It's because Christ died for us. And if we believe that he died and he rose for us, that's what makes us worthy. Letter C, commit my fears and my life to Christ. Commit my fears and my life to Christ. A lot of us may have committed some of our fears to Christ, but not all of them. We may have committed our fear of going to hell to Christ. We want him as a Savior, but we haven't let all of our fears be turned to him, and we haven't let all of our life go to him. There may be parts of our life that we like about Christ and being a Christian. It may be that we like coming in here and we like the fellowship. We like the preaching and the teaching and the things that are going on in the worship service. But when it comes to other areas of our life, maybe the secret areas of our life, maybe some of the things that we're watching on our computers, maybe some of the relationships that we have with people are not what they're supposed to be, we want to hang on to those. But if you want a foundation of no fear living, you've got to commit your fears and your life. 1 Peter chapter 3, the second part of verse 14, do not be afraid of anyone, and do not worry, but have reverence for Christ in your hearts and honor him as Lord. When you honor Christ as Lord, you will not have those fears. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And I love this verse in Romans 15 from the Message Bible. This resurrected life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurous, expectant, greeting God with childlike what's next, Papa? When my boys were younger, one of the advantages of them growing up here in Tampa was Busch Gardens. And we took them to Disney when they were younger. And, you know, as they got a little bit older, Donald Duck was not so impressive anymore. So Busch Gardens was closer. And I remember taking them to Busch Gardens, and I had gotten a map, and I was mapping things out because I'm an organizer. You go on vacation with me, I'll have it all planned out to even what time you're eating, okay? And I had everything laid out and everything we were going to do, and I had the map, and I took them to a little ride they got on, and they got on the ride, and they got off, and they came back, and they looked at the map with me, and they said, what's next? They were so excited. Then I got them on their very first roller coaster. I don't think it was taller than me. Put them on that roller coaster, and I watched their eyes get big. And Matt had enough. He got off. He didn't want to do it anymore. But Tyler said, Dad, can we go again? And I said, only if Matt will go with you. And Matt loved his little brother so much, he got back on that thing. And after about 12 times, it was nothing to them. And Tyler was looking at the next roller coaster. And the reason why I tell you that is because this life, a lot of times, is like an amusement park. There are rides that will scare you to death. There are rides that are nice and level. You know, Nancy likes going through and looking at the flowers. The boys like kicking the flowers, okay? But the thing of it is when it comes to this life, there's going to be times where you're on top of the mountain and everything is great. And then as that roller coaster goes over that edge and you see what's down below, it's going to scare you to death. But when you're riding with God, you're going to say, okay, Dad, what's next? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 says, dear friends, God the Father chose you long ago and knew you would become His children. And the Holy Spirit has been at work in your heart, cleansing you with the blood of Jesus Christ. And underline the word, and making you to please Him. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. May God bless you richly and grant you increasing freedom from all anxiety and fear. In closing today, I want to tell you about a guy that I met who was a Navy SEAL. I have watched some of the programs that are on the internet about Navy SEALs and their training and some of the things they've got to go through. They have this thing called Hell Week that if you can get through that, you pretty much pass the course. And I was talking to them about that because I was just so impressed that anybody could deal with that. It was pretty impressive, the things that he was telling me about that they had to do on a daily basis and all that. And I said, what's the difference between the people that make it through Hell Week to go on to become a Navy SEAL and those that don't? He says it's their foundation. It's their foundation. It is their core beliefs about themselves. The reason why I tell you that is because I've given you three simple steps that you have to take in order to have that foundation of living a life of no fear, of living a life that doesn't have anxiety and worries in it. I gotta tell you, I watch the news from time to time and I can't hardly take it, the bad stuff that's happening. I mean, it's gut-wrenching to see some of the things that we do to each other as human beings and to see some of the things that happen to people, no fault of their own. It's gut-wrenching. And then you watch the political news, and no matter which side you're on, everybody thinks that this country is doomed. And if you watch it long enough, it starts to affect who you are. I was telling Nancy about our neighbor, nice guy, older gentleman. But he's gotten so angry. He and I were talking one day, and it was hot outside, and I was probably not in my best mood. And he started talking politics to me. And I said to him, I said, John, you know what you need to do? And he said, what? I said, you need to go inside and you need to turn off that TV and not watch TV for a month. And he says, why? And I said, because everything will be the same when you turn it on in a month, but hopefully you won't be crotchety like you are right now. Nancy said, you really told him that? I said, yeah, I did. He's still talking to you? Yeah, he is. But the thing of it is when you get so wrapped up in the things of this world and you forget that this world is not our home, you lose sight of reality. You see, the news media and the political realm wants you to think one way, and it's so that they can get elected or they can get more likes or more people watching. But God says, if you will follow the ABCs, if you will accept me, if you will accept my love for you, if you will believe that I died and that I rose again, and if you will commit your fears and your life to me, you can have the best possible life ever. Not just now, but forever. And when death starts knocking at your door, whether it be someone you love or someone next to you or even yourself, you can accept it because you don't believe something. You believe in someone, and that is Jesus Christ. And as John Wharton said today, that warranty is good forever. Amen. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.